handoff, and it's has room to go across the 30. 25-20, numbers 15, to the 10, comes to the right 5, end zone, touchdown, FAU! He broke his ankle in the open area, has made the complete return. B.J. Emmons rumbling his way for a touchdown.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan, joined as usual by Shane and Jack. And tonight we are going to recap the University of Texas San Antonio victory and spend some time going over Conference USA, because this was probably the craziest Conference USA weekend, I feel like, that we've had all season. And certainly FAU benefited greatly from that, and we'll dig into that. But I guess to kind of start things off, so FAU kind of easily handled UTSA. As a reminder, FAU was favored heavily in this game. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to get to go to the game, and it was UTSA has got a, you know, it's a nice place to play. But it was nice to see us walk in there and really kind of take care of business. There was no stress, really, which was nice if you're going to, you know, pay all the money to go over to watch your team as a visitor, to really be able to enjoy it. And FAU kind of there. I never really felt that there was a time that the game was really that close. I mean, FAU scored pretty easily on the first drive. Harrison Bryant was just a beast, just an absolute beast, dominant the whole game. And also just today, as we're recording, this was named a Mackey Award finalist. Probably his performance this weekend had something to do about it. But I don't know, Jack, what was your takeaway from this UTSA game?
I mean, I think the story of the game went by pretty quickly, and that's because, like you mentioned, Dan, we scored on our first drive of the game. It was a 5-play, 90-yard drive, and that's what really set the tone, not just of the entire game, but of the entire night, because just maybe about 15, 20 minutes later, Marshall ended up losing to Charlotte, and that's something we're definitely going to be talking about later. My takeaways, though, Harrison Bryant, he deserves to be a Mackey finalist. That is awesome. Something to think about is that Motor wasn't even a finalist with best running back when we won the conference last in 2017, when he really went off. So that's just awesome to see him up there. Awesome to see B.J. Emmons get on the scoreboard. First, great to see him play, but then great to see him score twice. That ankle looks fine, guys. He's making cuts like there's never been any issues to it. And the defense, you know, the second half, they worried me a bit. Lane Kiffin mentioned that in his teleconference on Sunday, that it seemed like the defense gave up a little bit too many good plays after Lane told the team that Marshall lost. But I mean, hey, how about that fumble by Amon Ross? Dan, you were there to see that live, so you could probably see him just come out of nowhere, chase down the running back, and pop that ball out right into who else? Rashad Smith's hands. Just all around great game. Feel bad for Matt Haybaugh because he didn't have much to do that day, but Rivas looked good. Yeah, I mean, so everything on all three aspects of the team looked great, and that's awesome as we get into the real tough part of the season, of whether or not we can become champions or not. So we need all three aspects of the team to really be rolling on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think it was a little frustrating, I guess, to have the team give up as many points as they did. But I think, you know, kind of it's almost human nature in a way where, you know, I don't think we ever felt that the game was truly out of reach. And honestly, there was that one pass interference call in the beginning of the fourth quarter. Maybe FAU was up three scores, but, you know, could have been up even more. And the referee, I saw it. It happened right in front of me. Referee reached for his flag that he was going to go pass interference, because you could easily see that I can't remember who the receiver was wrapped up from behind before the ball got there. And, you know, so I think the defense may have just taken some, not necessarily taken some snaps off, but You know, you'd not necessarily like to see us give up that many points, but you know, it is what it is, and it was a pretty easy win, which was nice. And you know, Hayball I think he had two punts at maximum, which I remember in always referencing back to 2017. Frick, I can't remember the our punter's name in 2017, but he was rarely used. So yeah, that was good to see.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think we were trying to talk about the Harrison Bryant thing. I think what's so great about Lane, and Lane said after the post game that, you know, they ran a lot of RPOs because UTSA likes to run a lot of cover three defense, so it kind of fit. But, you know, I did feel there was a little bit of, let's get Harrison Bryant the ball and get him some serious stats. You know, with that, him becoming a semifinalist. Which is never an issue. Basing your game plan around Harrison Bryant is never an issue. You know, just so common trend you see, like, with just playmakers making play. With D'Amico Dobson, another interception. It just seems like these guys are always he's always just kind of in the right spot at the right time. And that's not saying it's just a luck thing. I mean, good players are always in the right spot at the right time. The fumble recovery, you know, we've seen it before on a long run. Rashad Smith, right there, who is fighting over the ball with, you know, Kiki Leroy. You know, it just playmakers just tend to be in the right spot in the right time to make these plays. You know, Chris had over 300 yards passing. It almost just feels like a blip again. We've talked about this. Mm-hmm. You know, the running backs, we had three running backs over 50 yards. You know, unfortunately, Lane said that Malcolm Davidson kind of got injured again. So who knows? He might have tweaked that hamstring. It's, you know how it is with FAU. It can't have more than one healthy running back, right?
Yeah.
No, like not. Emmons comes back. I mean, Larry McCammon didn't fly. So I don't know if he's going to be back this year. But so we have BJ for a week. And, you know, knock on wood, hopefully he's healthy for – you know, and so we can kind of stop this revolving door. But James Charles did a nice job, scored a touchdown, had 63 yards.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he didn't look like, you know, just kind of a mop-up duty type thing. I mean, he looked really solid.
He led the team in total yards and yards per carry as well. Yeah. He looked great.
Yeah, so, you know, we definitely have the guys depth-wise. We know Chauncey Mason can do it, you know, if we need him to step in and take 7 to 10 carries next week and be a reliable back. You know, so there's definitely no issues there. But, you know, hopefully we can get some of these guys healthy for the Conference USA title game due to what happened this weekend.
Yeah, so good lead in there. So I think, again, we've kind of talked about UTSA kind of as much as we need to. Ho-hum. Chris finishes with 300 yards and Harrison Bryant again. It was nice to see him kind of flex his muscle and boy, he flexed his muscle. And I was going back and watching some of those clips and wow. It was exciting. He just, you know, just powered over people with 15, 20 yards after contact. So that was pretty awesome to see. But kind of speaking of Conference USA, there was a lot of things that happened, especially in the West. The East, you know, kind of figured things out a little bit. If FAU loses this weekend, things will get messy. But essentially, Marshall lost to Charlotte, which was a pretty good game, pretty sloppy conditions up in Charlotte. But Marshall lost to Charlotte. Thank you, Niners. Love you from love from South Florida here. Let's talk a little bit about that game because we were talking a little bit about that before the show started. So that game was only on Facebook, which was actually, you know, kind of nice because I was tuning in before I left my hotel to go to the UTSA stadium and watched the end of the game. And you know, the beginning first half, really Marshall's only points came off of a field goal and a blocked punt. For a touchdown. So, I mean, it wasn't as if Marshall was really dominating in any way. And it was, you know, kind of coming down to the last thing. Marshall was out of timeouts And I think Charlotte was on the, what, the 25, 30-yard line on 4th and 10. And Shane and I were talking a little bit about this before the show, where Charlotte could have kicked a field goal, but it was downpouring at that point. You could barely see the game going on. And Charlotte throws a touchdown pass and basically takes care of the East for us. So I don't know. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch more of it. I was at the game, so I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I watched the whole game. It felt like at the beginning of the first half that, wow, Marshall's going to kind of get lucky again. When I saw the weather, it was going to be kind of a downpour the whole game, almost similar to when we played them up there that first time we played in Charlotte, where it's just total slop fest. And I'm like, this is a big advantage for Marshall. They're just going to – Charlotte's defense isn't that great, and that's why I didn't think they really had a chance. I thought Brennan Knox was just going to kind of go crazy, but Chris Reynolds was the star. UNCC's quarterback, Charlotte's quarterback, had over 130 yards rushing. I think the rain ended up helping Charlotte in the way that it slowed down Marshall's overall team speed. It kind of evened it out that way. So, maybe I didn't think about that kind of at first, but, that was kind of an even factor. And, yeah, I mean, Jack can agree with this. It felt like Marshall finally kind of got what they deserved in a way. Like, this team was due to – they were not playing good enough football in my eyes to represent the East. I said it a few weeks ago. I said, if we lost to Charlotte or Marshall, we went out. Everything will take care of itself as long as we win our games. And then it started to feel like, man, it's not taking care of itself. This team gets lucky with suspensions and penalties. And there's even a couple calls early in the Charlotte game where I go, it's just not meant for us. And then Charlotte misses a field goal for half, the same kicker that ended our season last year. I'm like, this kid's going to screw us two ways now. So it was that, but, Charlotte came up with a huge victory. The guy who caught the game, not clinching touchdown, but to put the game away, Victor Tucker, the receiver is from Carroll City High School down here. So, South Florida rescues the Owls.
He was looking out for us. That's for sure.
My takeaway is that, Isaiah Green played as well as us three and us FAU fans expected him to play. We knew that he's inconsistent. We knew that he is not in one of the upper elite quarterbacks of the conference, but he's done enough to get Marshall to where they need to be with a lot of luck on their side. He played like hot garbage. And granted, a lot of that was because of the horrible conditions there, but he went 6 for 17 with two interceptions, and they had no offensive touchdowns. Like you mentioned, Dan, it was just that fluke punt where the Charlotte punter literally just punted it right into the Marshall defender's hands.
Yeah.
And when that happened in the field goal and the penalties in the first half, you're thinking, just not meant to be. But, credit to Will Healy, the coach over there at Charlotte, he has turned that program around. I would say I would say Brad Lambert did a good job of turning that program around towards the later end of last year. But now what Will has done, he's just taken it to the next level. And I couldn't be any happier for them. I think when Victor Tucker got that touchdown on fourth down, guys, I think that was the most excited I've been all season long. And it was a game that didn't involve FAU.
Right.
Not directly in a way, but indirectly. I mean, you can ask my roommates. I was jumping and running like I just won the lottery. So,
yeah.
Huge shout out for Charlotte. Go Niners. Drop the UNC. Whatever Charlotte wants for the next year, they can get, because we owe them big, especially if we can take care of business this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned a little earlier how the West is still kind of crazy. What's the crazy part of the West is what Louisiana Tech losing again this week. I mean, their players must have did something bad because they basically suspended themselves out of the Conference USA race. I mean, it's only a 2-game suspensions, but it was probably their two most important games of the year that they've lost now. They lost to UAB on Saturday. There's all sorts of crazy tie-breaking scenarios over there. There's even one, thanks to Rick for posting on the forum that if USM beats us, hopefully not, that there's a three-way scenario, which this is the 8th tiebreaker in Conference USA. If we are ever in this situation, most conferences, we're talking 8th tiebreaker. This is something that might never happen in decades in a conference. It goes to whoever has not been in the title game the longest.
Right.
Basically, the team they feel most bad for. Most conferences go to a coin flip at that point. So, whatever. I mean, I saw some people were upset about that today. I mean, I think we'll beat USM anyway. It won't have to come down to that. But, like, when you're at 8 tiebreakers, you just start making up stuff, and it doesn't always have to make sense. Right. But it's looking like if UAB, who takes care of business this week, we will get UAB at home, which was such a – last week we didn't know how we were going to be in the game, and now we're looking, we are going to host again. I think out of the three teams out west, UAB, Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss, I think UAB is the weakest by far.
Especially if they don't have their starting quarterback.
That's Southern Miss. Starting quarterback.
UAB. Tyler Johnston is out as well.
Yeah. Well, I think the West is just I thought you were getting a bit ahead of yourself talking with Jack Abraham, is one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I think in general, I think with Western Kentucky, and I know Jack Abraham got hurt for Southern Miss, it's kind of a huge advantage to us this week. Western Kentucky dominating Southern Miss. I think the East part of the conference is way stronger. Regardless, seems like Rice is the team playing the best out there right now. So it's like we might go, if we take care of business this week, we might go into the Conference USA title game as double-digit favorites.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to think, considering where we were at one point Saturday evening, thinking that Marshall's going to get lucky again and win the East and then host the title. And then half an hour later, all of a sudden, we're all talking on Twitter about how we're not just going to go to the championship game. We're going to host the championship game for the second time in 3 years. That's crazy. Shane, you have not been a believer in UAB all year long. But I will give you this. Out of the three teams in the West, UAB is the one that I would want to play the most. I think I'm going to disagree with you a little bit because I think Louisiana Tech – Louisiana Tech with a full team with Jamar Smith at quarterback might be the best team in the conference.
Definitely. That's the team I'd want to play least healthy just because they have experience, a real good run game. That's it's looking like that won't happen.
Thank God.
But yes, and early on, even if we made it, we thought maybe we were going to have to go to Ruston to play that game. And I did not want any part of that.
I mean, we might as well have lost right there having to fly to Ruston. I mean, forget about it.
Nobody wins going to Ruston.
There's no winners there. But UAB, I mean, they have a great fan base. They have a great story. They have a decent team. So it definitely won't be easy if we get there and if we play them. But it will definitely be an interesting game, no doubt. But we got to win this Saturday first against a short-handed Southern Miss team. It's crazy because it's like now we're getting all the luck that Marshall has been getting for the entire year, and we're getting it in like a 1 week span. And it's like I have to pinch myself. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Southern Miss next episode later this week, and I'm certainly not looking too forward. It's hard not to look forward to hosting because how quickly things turned with Charlotte beating Marshall and then Louisiana Tech, so losing to UAB. So, a quick wrap-up of essentially what happened. Rice beat North Texas, which I know there's a lot of frustrated North Texas fans out there. They were picked to, you know, to kind of lead the conference again. They lost to Rice 20-14. Western Kentucky really took care of business against Southern Miss. But again, their, you know, starting quarterback Jack Abraham went down with I didn't see the play. I've just kind of been reading a little bit about on Twitter that it was it was pretty bad, and they're really not sure what's going to happen with him later on. And when we record the episode later on this week, maybe we'll have some clarity, although probably not. UTEP being UTEP lost to New Mexico State. Middle beat Old Dominion. And I guess we can kind of talk a little bit locally here. The Florida International Panthers beat the University of Coral Gables this past Saturday. So props to them. You know, it's kind of it's good for the – anytime, even if it is FIU, anytime a Conference USA opponent beats a Power 5 team, it's always always good for the conference. So props to them and Butch Davis down there. You know, we still beat them by 30 points. So
best team in South Florida, man, right here, Boca.
Yeah.
Something a question I want to pose to you guys real quick. And this is where I think the differences lie between FAU and FIU's fan base. I genuinely believe that FIU fans would much rather want to beat UM like they did last Saturday at Marlins Park than win a conference championship game. Do you guys think that majority of FAU fans would feel the same way, or do you think we're a bit different? We want to win rings.
I think the dynamic of their school, and I couldn't understand, so I'm talking to it, and just how many deals, like, you saw there was a FIU student who works for in one of the UM websites, who wrote a thing, you know, it's okay for FIU students to root for UM, why you should, and like, you see, it's for them, it's more of like a cultural rivalry, like,
yeah,
you know, UM doesn't represent Miami, we are Miami school, we're a public university, they're a private school who takes, you know, kids from New Jersey. So I could see why, like, this means more to them, you know what I mean? Us beating Minnesota next year doesn't do the same, you know. And what's amazing, I was listening to Sports Talk Radio all day, and there's nothing more that I enjoy, especially after we already beat FIU, than listening to just the burning of Hurricane fans. I mean, I could just eat popcorn and watch the Hurricane fan base jump off a bridge, and it would be the greatest movie of my entire life. But it's, you know, I heard over and over again mentioned today, FAU beat this team 2 weeks ago by 30 points. So when I say, and I get it, FAU fans, oh, we don't want to see them win, like, it brought legitimacy to us in the same way. You know what I mean? People are saying, wait, FAU crushed this team. Both these teams must be good. I mean, that's what was being said today. You know, saw Lane Kiffin tweeting about it. You know, he tweeted out the score. You know, and a few of the recruits were doing the same. So, like, it definitely changes the narrative, I think, for kind of all G5 programs in the state. So not only have you had UCF success, you've had, you know, FIU pulling this upset, and it's like, yeah, you guys keep making fun of us, keep saying we're small time, yet we keep doing things to prove you wrong.
Yeah, for sure. It's only good things can happen. Kind of elevates the rest of the conference. Looks like there's, you know, nearly, I think every single 6-win team in the conference will be bowling. Maybe they'll get one unlucky. But Charlotte, again, we kind of mentioned, we talked about them getting bowl eligible. They play Old Dominion this week. It's very possible that Charlotte ends the season with 5 straight wins. Again, a team that we crushed. You know, so that's 4 or 5 straight wins, I can't remember, but basically ending up with 7 wins for a team like Charlotte. I mean, that's the conference overall is looking pretty good. The teams that FAU beat, you know, FAU is 8-2 right now. Did I get that correct? You look at the teams that FAU beat, for most of them have winning records, which is, again, shows kind of the competitiveness and where we are as a program, and not to, you know, continue to toot our horns too many times, but it's nice to kind of look back and see that, yeah, we're doing
it. Just a preview and something to think about. Maybe we could put a poll out or ask the question of the fan base at this. Maybe this is a conversation we can have in a couple weeks when the dust settles. I just thought of it. I'm more impressed with this season than 2017 when you kind of factor everything in. And we're still dominating a lot of games. I don't think people realize. I mean, outside of the North Texas, you know, it was 69-17 game where he put up, you know, when you factor the running back injuries and the not having our starting quarterback all spring and everything we've done where we're still going out mostly week in and week out and winning by a couple touchdowns, you know, winning games comfortably every week. And that the only, we might end up having, you know, knock on wood, the same amount of losses in the loss column as 2017. And our out of conference was much tougher. I mean, we lost to Navy and Buffalo out of conference this versus Ohio State and UCF. Again, I still watch Ohio State every week and say, how did we score 21 points against them? We should raise a banner in the corner of our stadium next to conference USA title. We score 21 points against that Ohio State team. Like, raise a banner. They should get rings. It's amazing because you see Offit is just struggle against them every week in and out. So, but there's some things, you know, really the only difference is, you know, we beat Marshall by 5 points in 2017 and they beat us by 5 points this week. It was just kind of a flip of a couple plays. But I think everything else around that, we've been more impressive in some ways. I think the defense is more dominant this year.
But both defenses, 2017, 2019, and again, if we had a nickel every single time we've compared these years on this podcast this year, which is a good thing, mind you. We shouldn't be complaining about it. Something that they have in common is that bend don't break style mentality and the amount of turnovers that they create. Remember, Jalen Young had all those interceptions in 2017. Now it's Miko Dotson and a few other guys. I think the defensive line this year is better than the one in 2017. With the likes of Noah Jefferson and Ray Ellis. The linebackers, I think I'd want to pick 2017s, though, with Aziz and Rashad back there. I mean, nothing against, you know, the current linebackers below Rashad, like Kiki, for example. But maybe it's just my proud Tampanian coming out to support Aziz again. I don't know. but I agree with you guys, though. With the injuries and question marks we had on offense this year, with the running back position, with the running back injuries, with the lack of a number one true receiver, without having Chris Robinson during the spring practice, I think this has definitely been more impressive. And if anything, considering where we are now, really makes me want to play UCF again. I'm not saying let's get him in a bowl game, but I mean, geez Louise, why did that have to be in week two? Why couldn't that have been right now, you know, because that is a mouth-watering matchup. I mean, good for them, but they're going to be playing USF on Black Friday, and I think that might be Charlie Strong's last game at USF. But one more thing I want to mention about the Conference USA slate before we break it down, guys, is that
– right, real quick, are you paying for Charlie Strong's buyout?
good point. No, but –
Charlie Strong will probably be the coach next year.
He is the – at some point, you have to have respect for your program that he is, what, the number 12th or number 17th, one of those two, wealthiest coach when it comes to, you know, yearly salary in all of FBS football. And this is the type of season they're putting up. They've had a lot of injury problems, but good God, this is – I'm not sure if you guys saw that Memphis game that they had. It was awful. But anyways, with the conference slate, before we wrap it up, no team in Conference USA is playing for 6 wins this weekend. Have you guys noticed that? Everyone is either at 6 or above, like Charlotte and FIU, or everyone's below it. I have it right here. UTSA, 4 wins. North Texas, 4 wins. Middle, 4 wins. Everyone else is going to be below that, like UTEP and Rice. So I think because of that, it should still be an interesting weekend. You're not going to have like a lot of really desperate teams like we could have. But remember, if you have 7 wins, that means you're not allowed to get passed up for a 6-win team. in a bowl game, if there's not enough bowl slots, for example, especially if a 5-7 team has to make it. So look for FIU to show that this win over UM wasn't a fluke. I mean, Marshall's going to be playing pissed. They're going to be back at home in Huntington for that game. But look for FIU to fight hard. And Charlotte against Old Dominion and what's probably Wilder's last game up in Norfolk.
Yeah, it'll be and again we'll kind of talk a little bit more maybe some more scenarios later on down the week. But yeah, FIU still has to play Marshall. Marshall still has something to play for because if we lose this weekend, that can throw a wrench into things. So yeah,
don't speak those words to me.
I'm more of a I'm too superstitious to talk about the conference championship game yet. But I guess to kind of wrap up, one really exciting thing is the Schmidt Center, Schmidt Athletic Academic Center. I don't remember what the full name is, but that should be opening shortly. And again, it's perfect time for recruiting to pick up to really hopefully be a game changer in conference.
Yes, well, speaking of recruiting, FIU just landed a major commit tonight. Not very convenient on a Monday night, but story will be up tomorrow. But yeah, FIU's doing well from early reports from some people who have kind of toured and seen the finished product of the Schmidt Center. I heard it's like breathtaking. That like, you know, we've been talking about it forever, but I don't think we're going to kind of, when we see it, it's going to be like, wow. Like, it's going to be one of those, man, look how far we've come FAU moments. So,
That reminds me, there was an Arkansas fan talking about how, you know, their facilities will blow all of FAU's out of the water. And I just wanted to, like, just look up the square footage of the Schmidt Center and just show them pictures and be like, you really think that's the case? You might have Jerry Jones money, buddy. But, A, you're still Arkansas. And we talked about it last week, Shane, how I don't think that's a top 15 job, like you mentioned. But what we're building here is
25. I think any job in the SEC outside of Vanderbilt, it kind of falls into that. So
that's
Missouri, maybe.
I'll give you 35, but that's last week's debate. I do think that Schmidt Center, though, it proves that there's a commitment to compete at a high level for this university. And that's something that I believe we all believed in when John Kelly became president, when he came in from Clemson. That's something that Brian White, same thing when we got him. So hopefully it's only going to get even better from here, guys.
Yeah. I mean, with that facility, there's no, earlier one of the bigger knocks, especially when FAU was in the Sun Belt, was our facilities playing in Lockhart. The Oxley was our, football facility. Having that place, right next to the stadium, I think will definitely be a game changer. And then we talked a little bit about last week where FAU is trying to become a sustainable program that no matter who the coach is, there's going to be success. We'll see what happens. And as week goes on, but we'll enjoy this victory and enjoy thinking about potentially hosting a conference championship game. And we'll talk USM a little bit later on this week. Hopefully some injury news will be from FAU's end and also potentially for USM as well. So make sure you check us out on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, FAUAllisonS.com for the game week thread. And if you feel like going back and reliving the UTSA game there, and Twitter as always at Inside the Burrow. So for Shane and Jack, we really appreciate you guys being on with us. Oh, I should mention that this is kind of a milestone on the audio only side. Last week we hit 1,000 downloads. So we appreciate you guys being on us there. And we know that on Owl's Nest, we surpassed that number a long time ago. So we appreciate you guys' support everywhere. We'll catch you guys later this week. Go Owls.